Let's bow our head and pray. Gracious Father and eternal God, as we listen from your word, let the light of your Son shine in our hearts so that we may stand firm always until the day comes when your Son Jesus Christ will be returning again. I pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. Amen. As a way of recapping, the letter to Ephesians deals with Christian life. In our last talk, Paul was dealing with how believers are to relate with the visible world as the new people committed to Christ. And in submission to Christ, genuine believers or followers of Christ are called to observe harmonious relationship with the visible world, be it in the civil society, that is, interacting with the unbelieving world, or in our gatherings as believers, or maybe at home or at work. This was the main agenda of the previous sections, Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 6, verses 9. This section governs our relationships to the visible world, the world that we think we have full control over it. Now, in Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 24, Paul introduces us to our new relationship to the invisible world. It sets a tone on how we are to relate with the invisible world, the angelic world, the world that has the greatest influence on our eternal destiny, and the world where chaos, rebellion against God began, which unfortunately the Bible does not give us much and fuller details on how the rebellion began. The epistle in chapter 1, verses 3, is giving us assurance that we are connected to this invisible world positively. This actually tells us that in Christ, believers lack nothing. We are given every spiritual blessing from the heavenly realm so that we can be able to relate to the invisible world without fear. As long as we do only one thing, we keep trusting in Christ. Faith is a bridge that connects children of God to God. Therefore, without faith, that bridge it broke. Our theme for today is, the Lord, therefore, is our strength. This theme stresses a believer's call to total dependence on the strength of the Lord. This call runs from age to age, and it is mentioned throughout the Bible. All the chosen people of God will face the spiritual world or angelic world through God's power. God's newly resurrected people receive a call while they were in wilderness. Be still and know that I am God. That it happened in Exodus 14, verses 14. When the children of Israel were about to cross the Red Sea, there stood in front of them the Red Sea, which was blocking their way to the Promised Land. And behind them, Pharaoh's armies were threatening their lives. But God spoke these words and said to them, be still and know that I am your God. You know what? If you can read with me Exodus 15, verses 2 to 3, which is the song of their testimony. They said, the Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Oh, what a wonderful testimony that was sang some years ago. Therefore, Brethren, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 24, calls us to the very same note that we need to trust the Lord entirely, day by day, not only once in a moment, but every day. As we begin to look to these verses, let us begin first by examining verse 10 of this chapter. This verse sets the pace on how we are to fight our spiritual warfare. This verse encourages us to trust the Lord and His mighty throughout the years of our Christian calling. From our initial calling through to our final glorification at the end of our life, maybe through death or on the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what it says. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty. This verse is making a declaration on how we are to fight our battle. And it warns that any deviation from this prescription, it is like visiting a doctor. And a doctor gives you, after he has done his medical examination, he gives you the prescription and the medication. Then when you get home, you erase all the labels on your prescription. Then the question is, how are you going to take your medication? Because the label is not on a medication. Therefore now, here Paul is now saying to us, the only thing that is going to help a believer to stand against the devil is to only trust to God. How does that happen? In verses 10 and 17, Paul gives the essential strategies for all believers. They must have strategies. So as we look at Ephesians verses 10 to 17, the essential strategies of all believers must be a thing for every believer to possess. Believers must be mindful of the fact that all that follows after this verse, then we are to keep that verse in mind, as all has been built in that verse. This verse calls all the believers to put their trust entirely to the Lord's strength and not on their own strength. And some of us might think that this is not an easy thing, or it is an easy thing. But if we still remember, friends, in the beginning of all things, God gave each and every one of us the power and ability to do His own things. But yes, it was good before the fall, but after the fall, all the power that has been given to us, if we are to rely on our own abilities, we are going to miss the point. Because in us, the sin reigns. There's nothing good, friends, that we can do. Hence, Paul here in verses 10, he's instructing us to entirely depend to God. If we may notice, friends, in this world, people are really advancing. The world that we're living in is not the same as the world that Noah used to live in. It is not as well the world that even Jesus Christ has lived in it. It is much advancing. You can see how technology is advancing. But the question is for us to ask, can any one of us surrender totally to God? Apparently, no. Those who can only surrender to God, according to verses 11 to 12, are only those that are mentioned in verses, in chapters 1 and 3 of Ephesians. Who are they? Those who have been resurrected. Those who have been given a new life. How do they do that? The point of departure is to have essential knowledge about the nature of the Christian calling and its opposition. Without that knowledge, nobody can give his power to God. No one can even trust Jesus Christ. Hence, here, if we look to these verses,
the point of departure for us on a daily basis as we live our life is to know that the one who stands between us, God, the one who opposes us, is the devil. That is where we have to begin. If we go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, we are told that all believers, before they came to the saving knowledge of Christ, they were also part of darkness. They were also being governed by Satan, sin, death, the world, and self. That is why when you come to Christ, it is where you have to divorce self-centeredness. It is where you have now to begin and always try your best to be found in Christ. Verses 13a tells us that the devil, friends, is a spiritual being, and we are not fully spiritual being. He is a full and mighty spiritual being. But mark this, he is not almighty. He is not all-powerful. The one who's almighty and all-powerful is the one who has called us to himself. Hence the call that, friends, if you are to walk in this life safely, always you need to know your opposer. Once you know that the devil and his angels and all the other principalities, they are under him, then you will start distancing yourself day by day. And that verse, it calls us to resist the devil. What does it mean to resist the devil? It means that if you look there in that verse, there is a warning that when are we supposed to stand in the way of the devil? It is when the evil days comes on our way. If you can see in the world that we are living in, everybody else has got a testimony that the world that we are living in is growing day by day to be evil. So which means now as believers, it is our mandate and call to resist the devil and his work. And when we do that, we will be standing by our God and our Savior. And our Savior. Verses 13b encourages us that once we comprehend our opposition, then now we will always be found in a state of preparedness. There is no way that the devil can catch us, because we are always aware that he has got the tricks, he has got the schemes, and he wants to attack at any time. So that when the devil approaches us, then we will oppose him not to get into our hearts. God's elect are always called to be on a state of preparedness, so that when tempting days comes on their doorsteps, they must not fall on his schemes, but they must stand their ground and stood by their master. We may have noticed in this letter that the evil days are always in Paul's lips. For instance, in chapter 5, verses 16, Paul calls all believers to live as wise people. Why? He's saying, always monitoring the times that are evil. So which means, friends, our Christian life, our Christian calling is to live against the evil days and please our God. So when we live against the evil days, we'll always be found to be in line with the will of God. In actual fact, one of the primary call of all believers is to expose and oppose the devil's work and all of his agents at all times and be found in Christ. And the only way that a person can do this is basically by exposing and opposing the works of the devil. It is to put trust in Christ only. The one who has saved us, the one who has transferred us from the dominion of the devil, the one who has put us to his kingdom. Therefore, the only way to resist the devil is always to try and be found in the dominion of the one who has called us. Who has called us. This, Jesus Christ once said to his disciples in John 15 verses 5. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Therefore, in order for us to stay on our Christian course until the day of Christ, or until God calls us home through death, it is only to stay and be found in Christ and to trust in his mighty powers. Then in verses 14 to 17 now, Paul now, after he has told the believers that the point of departure for any believer to be found in Christ, it is to have a clear knowledge of him. Then in these verses now, he gives now the essential tools for standing firm and winning the spiritual warfare. And winning this spiritual warfare. He gives the detailed list of all the essential tools that will equip and enable God's elect so that they may stand firm and win their spiritual warfare. In order for God's elect not to waver from their Christian path, they are to be like Abraham. Abraham, though he was at one point tempted to even give his own son, but because he trusted God fully, that the God who gave him Isaac is the God who provides at all times. So hence, he wanted to give his son, the only son, to God, because he knew that the very same God is the one who will give when he has taken. So the tools for standing up in verses 14 to 17 demonstrate for us, or for Ephesians believers, that the letter of the book of Ephesians was intended to encourage them to stand. And here Paul gives them six essential strategies for standing in their Christian walk. The tools that will help them to stand on the days of evil. And these tools, brethren, we are all to look unto them. He begins in verses 14 by mentioning two of them. The first one is the truth. Friends, we will never oppose the devil if we don't walk by truth. Where do we find truth? Truth is only found in one person, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He's the one who came with truth and grace to demonstrate how God loves us. So as we mingle with each other, friends, as we start to interact with each other, we have to abide by this principle. Every believer has to be true to himself and to the people around himself. That is the first tool that Paul gives here. And the second one is righteousness. You know what the devil can do to you? He can bring confusion. He can bring doubt to you. You start doubting that God has declared you righteous through faith in Christ, not on your own abilities. Friends, let us not allow the devil to threaten us and to put guilt in our hearts and telling us that, you know, you are not declared righteous in front of God. That is a lie. If we believe in Christ with all our hearts, there is no guilty in us. We are declared righteous in front of our God and Creator. So friends, we need to know at all times that our faith in Christ declares us righteous before God. It takes away all doubt, all guilty, and it sets us before God so that we stand before God with full confidence. Full confidence. Then he moves from there and goes and says, then take the helmet of salvation. You know, friends, when hard times comes in your way, in this world, when suffering comes in your way in this world, the only thing that is going to help you is to focus on your salvation. God has destined all of us to the final salvation of our souls. Even if our flesh can be teared into pieces, but if we focus on the day of our final salvation, then we'll be able to stand the discouragement that the devil is bringing us. We'll be able to stand the doubt that the devil is planting in our minds and hearts. We'll be as well be able to stand whatever circumstances that is coming our way. Only if we focus on the day of our salvation. When Paul was writing this letter, let me remind you where he was and what circumstance he was under. He was in chains. He was in prison. But at the very same time, while he was in that situation, he could say to other believers, stand firm in the Lord. Why? Because of one thing. What was important for Paul? It was the final salvation of his soul. So I also wish that it could also be so with us. Hear what it says in chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all that flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Here, friends, we are instructed in all circumstances to take the shield of faith. Friends, faith is our overall protection. It is the one that extinguishes discouragement, extinguishes confusion, and replaces fear with faith, and also moves away any doubt that a person might have in his life. And then, friends, here, it is the only defensive tool that if we keep it intact, if we don't move it, it always connects us to God our Redeemer. To God our Redeemer. Hence, friends, we are at all times to trust in the promises of God. It doesn't matter what circumstances are coming your way. It doesn't matter what situation it is. But when situations they come, let those situations build a bridge that connects you more to your Master, that connects you more to your Redeemer, that always makes you one statement, as Job one time did and say, I know that one day my Redeemer will just come my way. So friends, faith is very crucial for any believer. It is by faith that we can please God. And apart from faith, we cannot please God. Then finally, in verses 17, Paul now, he turns to the word of God. Friends, this tool is not a defensive tool. It is an offensive tool. One question which I would like to ask from us, which warrior can go to war without a spear? Which soldier can go to war without his rifle or firearm? There is no soldier. So it is so with us. If you think that you can win a war against the devil while you don't read your Bible, while you don't attend the Bible studies, while you part-time fellowship with other believers so that they can share what they have read in the Bible with you, then friends, I'm worried about you. I'm as well worried about myself. If I do not read the Bible, apparently, friends, the only way to fight the devil, it is to soak ourselves in the Bible. It is the only Bible where we will find the promises of God. It is only in the Bible where God tells us about the final destiny of our salvation. Hence I call, friends, to use the Bible in all of our daily lives. You know what happens? When you read the Bible, then the Spirit gets into partnership with the Word of God, and it revives you in whatever situation. When the troubled times comes your way, it is only the Word of God that will resurrect you in any situation. That is why I'm emphasizing this, that if a believer part-time his Bible, then he's like a soldier who's going in the battlefield without his firearm. So please, friends, let's be careful and read our Bibles. Verses 18 to 24. Paul is now calling believers to prayer. Friends, if we are really made alive in Christ, you know what does that says to us? It tells us that we'll know that there is only one way that we can communicate our problems to God. It is through prayer. Reading the Bible is allowing God to communicate his message to us. Then if you don't pray, how do you then communicate to God about your problems, about other believers' problems? This, friends, is a must-do for every believer. A believer who does not wake up in the morning and have a quiet time, he will respond in many situations with emotions. And when a believer soaks himself in prayer every day of his life, when the trouble comes his way, already the Holy Spirit and God the Father, he prepares that believer to respond in any situation positively. Hence I'm saying this is a must-do for every believer. And one other thing which is important, the manner on how we pray is very important. We need to pray with our hearts being clear that we are not praying to your Father Christmas. We are praying to God the Father, to God the Creator. So adoration and humility is a key, as well as perseverance. And more than that, we divorce self-centeredness. A believer who's really understanding prayer, when he goes to prayer, he prays for himself afterwards. Then he prays for other believers before he prays for himself. Verses 19 and 20. Listen with me how these verses are saying. Pray also for me that whatever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. You know here, friends, Paul is starting now to demonstrate his humanity. That even though he was an apostle, but he had some fears. Because here, he was in chains. Even to an extent that he was becoming timid in terms of declaring the gospel. But you know what? He was habitually dependent on prayer. Hence, he's emphasizing that, pray for me and for all other believers. Oh, I wish that also could be an attitude for all of us here, so that when we approach God in prayer, we know that we're human beings, is God. We humble ourselves to him. Lastly, the aim of the writing was not to enrich their theological understanding. It was just to hit to their hearts so that in their situation, they may know that the only thing that is going to help them, it is only to trust God and his strength. and keep on doing that day by day. Then lastly, in 23 to 24, he becomes a pastor in a situation that he was. He blesses his people. He gives the benediction to them. This is an amazing thing, friends. In all the way we see Paul, he was not focusing to himself, even though the situations were not allowing him. He was only focusing to his believers, to God, and to the work of Christ. But one thing which is important, in all that, he was putting his trust, not in his own abilities, to Christ, the one who has called him to be an apostle, the one who has called him to be in God. The question that I'm asking is this: where do you find your trust? Or where do you put the trust in this life? Many believers who read this epistle, you know what? They put their trust in the first three chapters of this letter, in their identity, that I am called by God, so I'm secured. Some, they put their trust in the second section of this epistle, chapter 4, verses 1 to chapter 5, verses 9, to personal holiness. These two things which Paul spoke about, Christian identity and personal holiness, he was building up a bridge that will make us, all of us, when we read this epistle, to put our trust in Christ only. Our trust in Christ only. And not even in the gospel, not even in the Bible. Why? The Bible has to lead us to God. That is why you find today that there are many theologians who study the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, but they are not in fellowship with Christ. The question that I would like to ask as we're closing: are you in fellowship with Christ? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you have not, then when troubled times are coming your way, what will you do? Friends, all those who believe in him, they are called to put their trust entirely to Jesus Christ, who came down on earth, died for our sins, was buried, but on the third day, God raised him from the dead. That is what we believe in, and that is what we trust in, that even if we die, God is able to raise us and seat us with him in heavenly regalia, so we may face, friends, the invisible world without fear, if we have trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, you began the good work in us, and only you who will carry it into completion. Help us, eternal King, to understand that without you, we are vulnerable. Every hour we need you. Bless us now, our God and Savior. Make those who have personally met you, your Son Jesus Christ, to come to the knowledge of him. Amen.